HP for the Rays. Very early iframe, so that's going to be a big setback there, but MVP is not the one we're worried about. They're just a setback here for TSM, who is going to do it. TSM, you're your champion.
They take him down, and that is a full wipe.
And now here's your host, Ryan Miller and Austin Curl.
This is Bread Talk, the premier Apex Legends podcast. I am Austin Curl, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Ryan Miller. Ryan, are you happy to be here?
Oh, I am very happy. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk some Apex Legends. Let's do this.
Let's get into it, Ryan. Right away, we're going to lead off with some headlines. I'm going to go first. My headlines is Valentine's Day event. The duo mode is back and will run from February 11th to February 18th. Ryan, how do you feel about duos making a return for Valentine's Day?
Well, when duos came out the first time, I was extremely excited. Very excited. Duos is one of my favorite modes. I enjoyed it a lot. And it's coming back for a Valentine's Day event. I am so excited. I'm going to be playing only duos while it's out. For that 7-day span, it is only duos for me. I am so excited right now.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I had a squad to play with on Xbox, but on PS4, I didn't have a squad to play with at that time. But, you know, me and Ryan, we linking up now. We getting some dubs and getting some wins.
I mean, we're basically playing duos anyways. Like, a lot of times our teammates leave and everything, so we're basically playing duos anyways.
Yeah, I mean, the teammates just end up dashboarding most of the time anyway, which is annoying. Ryan, what is your headline?
So I'm going to just kind of skim over this one a little bit. We're going to talk about it later in the show. But the Bloodhound buff, it's not the buff that everybody was asking for. But this buff actually might be the perfect buff for Bloodhound. I am extremely excited. Bloodhound, when I first started, he was my main. That was the character I always played. And he got nerfed. And then other characters came out. They were much stronger. They were a little bit better. Stop playing Bloodhound. Now this buff came in. I'm playing Bloodhound way more now.
I mean, I don't want to spoil anything for our listeners. We're going to be touching on that in segment two. But what I will say about the Bloodhound buff is it does make Bloodhound a more viable option in terms of when you're picking from all, what is it now, 12 legends?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 12 legends that you pick from. It just makes Bloodhound more of an option, in my opinion. I mean, other characters did receive buffs too, and we'll touch on that. And I do think that one character in particular did get an unfair buff, and the character was already overpowered as it is.
Agreed.
But we will be touching on that in segment two.
I should have known that fighting me is dumb.
English, do you speak it?
All right, so we're in segment one now, guys. So let's talk about the meta a little bit. What is the meta for the characters? Well, right now, if you're playing ranked, I'm seeing, of course, a lot of Watson. Watson's a very, very great legend to be using for ranked. You're seeing a lot of Gibraltar, and I'm seeing a lot of Wraith, as usual. Wraith has been one of those characters that throughout all four seasons, the entire year of Apex, Wraith has been consistent. Everybody's been choosing Wraith. A lot of people, that's their main, even when these other characters have come out, such as like Crypto, Octane, Caustic, all these other characters, Watson, stuff like that. Wraith has still been very, very consistent.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have a couple friends, TTV, Crims, Yakin, and Complex Plane. They actually used to main Wraith. Now they both main Octane, which is a little more of an offensive character, in my opinion. I would say the meta is probably Pathfinder, Wraith, and Watson if you're playing Wraith ranked. I mean, Gibraltar could get up there, especially with that buff that he received. Not going to spoil it still. Crypto is the least played character, and I mean, it's not hard to see why. Coffee Train is a friend of mine, actually pretty much mains him, but I understand that. My sister, Cardiac, she likes to main Watson. I don't really have a main on Xbox, I would say. I would normally play all characters, but normally now what we're looking like as a squad when I play on Apex is Watson, Caustic, normally a Bloodhound, a Bangalore, or an Octane. Those are the three characters that I normally play. I'm pretty good with all of them. But I would say Pathfinder, Watson, and a Wraith or an Octane would be, in my opinion, the best for rank because they all have smaller hitboxes. You have two of them that can move the team in case of need, and you have one character who's defensive and can set up in houses, set traps, have them like block bombardments from Gibraltar and Bangalore. Super helpful in any situation, in my opinion. And it recharges shield.
Well, and when you're playing ranked, Watson is like a character that you almost have to have on your team because, like Austin said, you can bombard yourself into a house, and that is extremely helpful in ranked when you're trying to get placement points and you're trying not to be super, super aggressive and you're trying to stay in the ring. It's one of those characters where you almost have to have her in ranked.
And I would also say with the Watson, it's super helpful that her pylon intercepts all the grenades and even like caustic cloud gas. That's extremely helpful. And also her fences are way harder to shoot down, whereas the caustic traps, it's easier to shoot those down and you run out quicker. With the Watson traps, if you're strategic, you can hide them behind the doors so they can't shoot them without coming through. And then they take that 10 damage and they're stunned, so you have time to shoot them.
Right. Not only that, she can pick up her fences. So if you use all your fences and now you don't have any more and you're waiting for it to recharge, but you need to move into the circle, you can pick those up real quick and now she has them all back. That's extremely, extremely helpful. Not only that, Pathfinder is also one of those characters that can be very, very helpful in ranked because let's say you have a Watson on the team and you choose Pathfinder. Now you know where that next circle is. Now you know how, like, when to go, you know which route to take, and then you can set yourself up inside that circle, that next circle.
And the other thing I will say is the Pathfinder ultimate, the charge up on that is insane, especially if you have a gold helmet. I don't know exact time on that. I would assume if you hit it every time it comes up right away, I'd probably get that 4 or 5 times a game, assuming you go top two, maybe win. But that's just extremely like a helpful element and ultimate to have is the zip line to move your team from place to place. It can get you out of battle. It can get you into the battle. Like if it's top three and you want a third party, you can get right in there, get in their face, peacekeeper them in their face, and win.
Well, not only that, let's say you're in a battle and now your team's really weak, so you have to heal up, but you don't want to peek your head out because there might be another team around there. But then the ring starts moving and it's almost on top of you. You can zip line out of that ring real quick. It moves you away from the ring. Now you're back into the new ring. It's extremely helpful. Not just that, his personal zip line makes mobility the best in the game, in my opinion. If you're going in there and your teammates get cracked right away, you can zip line around behind and you can start cracking those teams. His mobility is unmatched in the game.
I agree with that. I don't want to get too off track here, Ryan. Why don't we talk about like guns and which two ideally guns would you like to have in terms of your loadout?
So for me, in terms of
care package weapons, obviously are off limits.
Right.
And assuming we're early game, and then we can talk about late game in a minute.
Yeah, and I'm not going to talk about gold guns either. For me, my preferred loadout is the R99 and the longbow with the 3x on it.
I got to disagree with you there. I'm going to say, I believe that the Prowler with the select fire is now better than an R9 because of recent changes. I also believe that the R301 is the best assault rifle, but if I had to pick a loadout today, I'd probably go R301, assuming I have the gold hop-up and the anvil receiver, which makes it viable at long range, so you can basically use it as a sniper because you're getting around the same damage as a regular triple take shot, assuming you don't have that choke. I would go R301 Prowler with the
Select fire,
yeah, sorry about that brain fart. But if I had to run, assuming late game, maybe an R3 and a Mastiff. If you get a headshot with a Mastiff, that's just like unfair. Basically game in the team because it's just insane amount of damage Let me see if I can. Yeah, I'm finding right now.
Well, for me, the thing with the Prowler is, I don't know about for you, but for me, I almost never find a Prowler and a Select Fire. I mean, like, immediately. So I always pick up the R99, and then by that time, there's enough light ammo around that I'm set with the R99.
I could see that in terms of early game guns. The guns that I normally find most are R9, Alternator, Spitfire sometimes if I'm lucky. I can use pretty much any gun. I mean, the Sentinel is not a bad option now either if you can hit your shots with it. But I would also say, like, late game, a Mastiff shotgun on your fire rate is 1.3, and you're hitting about 144 to 288 damage, which is insane to me. 288 on a headshot, that's just, like, that's a cheat code. It's literally one-shot knock.
Right. I mean, obviously, if I can find the Mastiff, I'm picking it up. I'm sorry. I'm dropping that longbow and I'm picking it up. But for me, I don't find the Mastiff a whole lot. And I've gotten pretty decent with the longbow, especially if I can either get that 2 to 4 times or the 3 times. And I've kind of got that that bullet drop down. And I'm pretty good with it. So for me, the R99 and the longbow, that's what I go with. As much as I can.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Mastiff is a gun where if you don't pick that up late game, you're kind of crazy in my opinion. However, like Peacekeeper, Eva, I can't use either one of those. And I don't think anyone runs a Mozambique. It's just not a good gun. And same with the P2020 in my opinion. Both those guns are in need of a buff in my opinion.
Even if you pick up the hammer points for either one of those two, you have to crack all the shield and then you have to hit like almost every shot still to down them. And especially if they have a purple or gold shield late game, it's pretty hard to get off enough shots if, let's say, they have two automatic guns with the P2020 or the Mozambique to down them. And maybe with the Mozambique, they definitely need some buffs for it. But with the P2020, the loadout size, or like the clip size, is much bigger. So I'm not sure if maybe they would put a buff on the P2020. Not sure about that. And plus, those are kind of early, like early guns for the early game. So I don't think they're really meant to be late game guns.
The thing I will say with the P2020 is if you do find that gun early game when nobody has armor excuse me, and you have the hammer point on that gun shreds early game. But other than that, you can't tell me if you have a P2020 and an R301 that you're, and you see an R9, you're not gonna drop the P2020 for the R9.
Oh yeah, you're 100% dropping that P2020.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just an early gun game is the way I look at it. And even in the early game, sometimes I don't even pick it up.
I would agree with that. I also think that the Hemlock, now with that buff that it got.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely, in my opinion, extremely helpful. I would say Kraber is still one of those guns I can't use. Like, if I find that in a care package, I don't normally pick it up. I'd rather run a Sentinel or a Triple Take. I also can't use the Charge Rifle or the Longbow. I know you said you can run a Longbow. I can't do that. Especially with the new sniper ammo, I will say, I find myself not wanting to take a sniper rifle as often because I'd rather have the G7 Scout because you can stack 80 ammo as opposed to 20, taking up a backpack slot. And if you only have a white backpack or even a blue one, how much ammo can you carry before you're sacrificing your meds or your grenades or other options that you might need in a fight?
Right. That's fair. And the thing with the snipers versus like a G7 too, to add on to that, is the G7, the fire rate is much faster than any of the snipers. And you can down somebody, unless you're hitting all headshots with one of those snipers, and it's just one after another, the G7, you're going to down people much quicker, especially if you get that hop up, the double tap. You're downing people quick. You're shredding their shields quick. And the magazine sizes are just way bigger.
Also, the Sentinel, in my opinion, is a good option, and it has a good amount of damage. Of course, hitting for around 65 or like around a 130 headshot. But in my opinion, it's better when you use your shield battery and charge that up, because it's a one hit, crack that armor. It's like the disruptor rounds that we saw for the RE45 and the alternator a couple seasons ago. However, the Sentinel is a bolt action, so in the time that it takes you to reload it, that you could be getting hit quite hard by, say, an R9 or an R301. And I just think it's better to, if you're going to run a Sentinel or even a triple take or a longbow charge rifle, hit them once, crack their armor, say, and then spray them. Because
right.
Don't take the time to reload it.
The only time I would say you need to take the time to reload it is if they're kind of across the map. You know what I mean? Like if you're in Capital City and you're in one building and they're like almost across Capital City in another building, that's the only time I'd say it's okay for that. Because then by the time you push up to spray them with that 99, they've already healed up and everything. So I'd say other than that one scenario, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. The only thing I would say about that is if you're in that long-range fight, it's usually just a poke war anyway, and nobody's going to try to hit you from across the map with an R9 because you're going to get a 9 damage hit marker, and that's just not extremely helpful when you can hit someone for 66 per se.
Right, and the problem with those battles is, like you said, it's a poke battle. So you poke your head out, oh, I got cracked. Now I'm just going to go behind cover and just shield back up while my teammates shoot at him. And it's a lot of times squads don't get wiped that way. Like you're not going to get a squad wipe that way. You're not going to get rid of those players. And then both teams end up having to rotate. And then by the time they're rotating, they're already close enough for you to pull out the R99 or the Prowler or whatever you're running. So, I mean, I guess the one good thing I could say about those sniper battles is lowering the opponent's, like, how many shield batteries they have, how many syringes they have, medkits, shield cells, whatever, like, just kind of wasting away at their resources. I mean, other than that, those sniping battles aren't favorable for anybody.
That's really all it is just a poke war to take people's shield batteries and shield cells away. The only time that's extremely helpful is at late game, because if you can tag a team that's running into the circle while they're in the storm, and you can hit them for a little bit of health, and then the storm kicks away at them a little bit, you're running them out of that syringe. So then when you hit them harder next time, they might not have as much health, and it'll be easier to take down.
Right, and then late game, the storm hits harder. So let's say you do crack that shield and take away a little bit of their health. Now they're kind of it's tough for them to get that health back and still get inside the shield and be ready for that fight. So let's say they even do get back into the ring, and like they're all still alive, you just spray them with whatever gun you have and it's over because they don't have that time to heal. So snipers they're still very useful if you use them correctly. And sometimes if a team is out in the open, that's a good time to go into that sniping battle. If they don't have very much cover that they can use, that's a good time. So they're still extremely useful. It's just they're only useful for certain things, and you have to be smart about it.
Yeah, and you have to hit your shots because it's going to eat up your ammo extremely quick, especially let's say you have 2 stacks. That's 40. Plus you have, assuming, around maybe 5-6 in your actual sniper. That's 45, 46 shots, somewhere around there. That's not that many shots compared to an R9 or an R301 where you literally have stacks upon stacks of
right.
80 ammo sitting in your backpack.
Right, and I agree with what you said earlier about how the 20 stack versus like an 80 stack. Like, it's almost not worth it. Almost not worth it running a sniper anymore. But if you can hit your shots, like you said, and you use them smartly, it can be worth it. It's just for newer players, that probably isn't the best option for you.
That's the other thing with shotguns. I think what Apex is trying to do here is limit the amount of ammo you can carry, just like they did with the shotgun, where is now 16 as a stack. And that works for the shotgun because that's a finisher weapon. It's not a weapon that you tag people with.
Right.
You don't get in a poke war with a shotgun. You get in a poke war with a sniper rifle or a G7 Scout, which is now an AR, but
right.
still, in my opinion, a sniper rifle.
Yeah. It's just snipers are tough to use now. I do find myself a lot of times, too, if I find, like, a Sentinel early game and, I don't know, a Hemlock or something, and then I go loot another place when there's, like, 2-3 squads down, and I'm, like, 5 minutes into the game, and I find a Peacekeeper or even an EVA 8, a lot of times I'm dropping that sniper for that shotgun. Like I said earlier, the only sniper I'm not dropping is the longbow, unless I find a Mastiff, of course. But I almost feel like the shotguns are more useful now.
All right, that's going to do it for segment one here. When we come back, we're going to be previewing some of the buffs and the nerfs and the patch notes from this previous patch. All right, guys, we'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome back to Pred Talk. This is the premier Apex Legends podcast. I am Austin Curl, and I am joined by Ryan Miller. This is segment two, and we'll be talking on season four gun buffs and nerfs, and the season four legend nerfs and buffs. Ryan, kick us off here. Let's talk about some legend buffs first. You told me earlier that you really like the Bloodhound buff, so let's start with that one.
All right, so the Bloodhound buff. Like I said, I love this buff. So essentially what they did is when you use Bloodhound's ultimate and you get a knockdown, it adds 5 seconds to the ultimate. That is perfect. That's not the buff everybody was hoping for. A lot of people were hoping for, oh, take away his roar. I don't know, take away certain things like... I think he has foot, like you still kind of hear his footsteps when he's running. They were saying take away that, which those would have been great too. But adding 5 seconds to his ultimate every time he gets a knockdown, that is to me the perfect buff. There is no other buff that they could have done that would have been better than this. Because let's say there's 7 squads left. You go in and your team sees a squad. And you go, okay, let's push this squad. You push the squad. You use your ultimate as Bloodhound. Bang, you get 2 knockdowns. That's 10 extra seconds. Now another squad is trying to third party you. You see them coming because of your ultimate. You knock down one more. That's an extra 5 seconds. You knock down another one. That's an extra 5 seconds. You can essentially have your ultimate basically the entire game. Like from the first time you use it, if it were all set up like... obviously where it was just team after team that you were knocking down. But that is the perfect buff, and I love it, and I'm playing way more Bloodhound again, and it just makes the character way more fun. He got really stale for a while.
I would agree with that. I think the Beast of the Hunt is a great ability, and the reason I think that Apex is refusing to take away that roar is because with every single legend, you have that warning to get out of the way. For instance, with Gibraltar's bombardment that comes down, you have that little noise that it makes. I don't know how to describe it really, but you know what I'm talking about. That little noise
right.
it makes. So you have time to get out of the way so that you don't get hit by that. I mean, if you take away the roar, then how are you supposed to know what's coming?
Right. And with Bangalore's, you see where it's all going to land. You see it all before it lands, like a solid 2 seconds before it lands. So, you know, so yeah, it wouldn't really be fair, I guess, to take away his roar. But adding 5 seconds for each knockdown, what better way could you have buffed Bloodhound? Like, to me, that is the perfect buff. And Bloodhound is one of those characters that needed it, too.
Let's talk about next. This didn't happen in season four, this happened a little bit before. However, Gibraltar, as I like to call him, Gibby, did receive a buff where he picks up players quicker in the dome shield now, which essentially, that is a, that takes away the like usefulness of playing as a lifeline, because when you have the full coverage around you, plus you're picking up the teammate at around the same pace as a lifeline, why would you want a lifeline when you can have a Gibby who also can play defensive and offensive?
And that Gibby's got that ADS shield. The only reason you might choose a lifeline after that buff is the health drone and the care package. But essentially, Gibby's a defense and a health legend now. Like, he's both in one. That is an insanely powerful legend.
And I will say this. Gibraltar is way overpowered, in my opinion. The ADS shield, if you crouch, the only way they hit you is in the head until they break that gun shield. And in a 1v1, he's essentially impossible to beat, assuming you come across even around an average player, in my opinion. He's very hard to beat unless you shoot him in the back when he's not paying attention to you. I just think he needs some sort of nerf, because I just think it's an unfair advantage when you're 1v1ing a Gibraltar.
Well, not just that. Let's look at it like this, too. Let's say you're Gibby and you get gold shields, and then you have your ADS shield. The ADS is like plus like 15% shield or something like that. And you come across a Pathfinder with gold shields who takes 15% more damage. You essentially have like 30% more shield and health than that Pathfinder does. 30%, that's not a little bit. That's not like, oh, well, I can work around that a little bit. Like, sure, players like Shroud and stuff like that, they can do that. But if you're just an average player, you're not working around that. You're right. He's insanely overpowered, which makes him a lot of fun to play.
That's all we have for legend buffs and nerfs. However, we do have quite a few new gold weapons in the game, considering the Havoc, the P2020, the Sentinel, the Prowler, and the R301 have all been added in a gold form now. Ryan, how does that make you feel, seeing a P2020, a gold P2020, and a gun like an R301 get a gold version as well?
Well, you and I were playing the other day, and I got the gold R301. That gun is insanely powerful. The only thing I don't like about the gold R301 is the sight. I don't like that 1-2x sight that they use on it. If they gave it the open 2x sight, I would have been completely fine with it. That's the only thing I don't like about it. But other than that, it's got your Anvil receiver. Everything's gold, obviously. And the R301 fully kitted is already a problem. But you make it a gold gun, and that's almost a gun that you should be winning games with. Like, if you get that gun, it's a gun that you basically should win the game with. And the Prowler is another gun where when you get it, it's got the digital threat on it, it's got the select fire, all that. That's another gun where you should be winning games with that gun. And another gun that you didn't mention that actually got taken away from being a normal gun and only to a crate gold gun now is the Devotion.
And of course, the L-Star has been since moved back to floor loot, which I don't really understand what they were going for there. I guess maybe with the subtraction of the turbocharger, they maybe wanted to do that to make the Devotion a little bit better. So,
right.
I mean, that does make it a little bit better and a little less nerfed, in my opinion. Because Devotion is now one of the most, like, powerful guns, especially late game with that turbocharger. Nothing beats that fire rate except for maybe an R9.
Or a Prowler with the
select. Actually just got, they reduced the damage from 12 to 11, which doesn't sound like a lot. But assuming you have a base magazine of 18 and you're hitting.
Well, actually, they upped the base magazine to 20. That's the one buff they gave it when they nerfed it.
That's my bad.
You're good.
At about 20, you have to hit every single shot to down someone that has purple or gold shield. In a perfect world, we all hit our shots the first time, right? But in a realistic world, you're going to miss a couple. You don't hit every single shot that you take. So I could see why people have been picking up the Prowler instead of the R9 now, because the Prowler damage per shot went from 14 to 15, which is a lot better than hitting 11 per shot.
Right. And not only that, let's say you do find that select fire for the Prowler. and the magazine sizes are way bigger than the 99. You get a purple mag on that, and it's like, what was it, 35, 40, something like that? That's insane. You don't have to hit all your shots with that. You can hit a quarter of your shots and still down somebody, basically. I feel like they're trying to make the Prowler a gun that people want to pick up more. They're trying to kind of move that into the meta. And by upping the damage by even just one, which it doesn't sound like a lot. If you don't play Apex or first-person shooters, you're going to look at that and go, oh, okay, 14 to 15, that's not even that big of a deal. But then you play it and you're like, whoa, that's a huge deal. It's a gun that is incredibly powerful now, and I feel like they are trying to push it into the meta.
Let's also talk about a gun that was recently moved from a sniper to an assault rifle, that, of course, being the G7 Scout. Now, it only takes AR optics and attachments, but normally what I would run on a G7 is a 3x Ranger anyway, so it's not that big of a deal because you can still put that on an AR per se. However, I just think that needed a damage reduction. I think that the damage is too high on it for it to be, I mean, for an AR, yeah, that's okay. But like the R301 doesn't hit that hard with a body shot. So why should the G7 Scout hit that hard with a body shot?
Right. And well, when it's a sniper, okay. When it was a sniper, okay, I understand why it hits harder. But then you move it to an AR, yeah, they should have brought that damage down a little bit. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if you can find it, but I thought they reduced the fire rate by like 0.5 or something like that. What was it? From 4.5, yeah, to 4. So they reduced it by 0.5, which, again, if you don't play Apex or first-person shooters, they're like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But then you feel it in the game. And I don't mind that as a nerf, but I would have liked to see them keep it at the 4.5 fire rate and, like you said, reduce the damage. I feel like that would have made the gun a little bit more on the level of the other ARs and other just kind of basic guns, you know? I don't know. It's interesting. Even with the double tap, it's still one of the best games or guns in the game. It's just, I don't know. I feel like they messed up with that nerf a little bit.
I would agree with that. Let's talk about the updates to Iron Sight's accuracy here. Quite a few guns, considering the Longbow, Triple Take, Charge Rifle, Sentinel, Havoc, R301, Flatline, Spitfire, R9, Alternator, Mozambique, Mastiff, RE45, and the Wingman, all got better aiming with iron sights. Now, personally, there's a couple guns on there where I say, yes, that is a gun that needed it. Per se, a Flatline, that gun tends to go all over the place. I'm not sure about, per se, a Charge Rifle. That gun is not so much anymore, but when it first came out, it was very, very overpowered, in my opinion. And it just didn't make the game fun. If you got tagged by one of those, it would break your shield. Like,
right.
One, like, main hit. Because if you're not familiar with the game, it has a charge-up time, essentially, where it hits for 3, 4, somewhere around there. And then you get one big burst shot, where if you hit them, you're probably around 66, 67 damage, somewhere around there.
Right, and if you've got a white shield, or even a blue shield, that shield's gone like that. And then let's say you're in the open and you're running for cover, they hit you again, you're done. Like, or you're very, very low, you know? It's just, I don't know. I don't think the charge rifle, because even with the iron sight, the charge rifle was still pretty accurate. Or at least for me, it was still pretty accurate. So I don't know if they needed to buff that. But as far as like the longbow and stuff go, and yeah, like in the flatline, like you said, I do like that they buff the iron sight accuracy.
Also, let's talk about a sort of confusing move, in my opinion. Why was the turbocharger taken out of the game at the start of Season 4, in your opinion?
I think it was taken out of the game at the start of Season 4 because when you put it on the Havoc or the Devotion, in late game, you didn't have that second where like the energy gun had to charge up and then it fired. You didn't have that second. So if you went into a battle and the guy you're going against has, I don't know, even an R99, if you have that turbocharger on the Devotion or on the Havoc, then you don't have that split second where they're shooting you, but you're waiting for your gun to start shooting. No, it's just immediately it starts hitting, and they hit harder than the R99. So you down them like that. Like, you down them extremely quick, especially if you hit, like, even 85% of your shots. Okay. I think that's why they took it out, but I don't like that they took it out.
I agree with that. But hear me out. If you're willing to carry an energy weapon around and you have that turbocharger, in my opinion, spraying them late game and winning the game by melting them, literally, is your reward for going the entire game and having to look for energy ammo everywhere, because there is extremely a lot less energy ammo than there is, per se, light ammo or heavy ammo.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's true. And I think with the turbocharger, those are very, very good late game guns. It's just with the turbocharger, those guns became extremely, extremely overpowered, because if you do have – let's say you did go the game and you found a bunch of energy ammo. You know, you looted a bunch of death boxes. You killed a bunch of people. Say they had a bunch of energy ammo. And now you're stacking up like 300 energy ammo. Then for the late game, that gun is almost unbeatable. It's – as long as, obviously, the player can hit their shots.
Well, I think what they've done with the Devotion, where they put it in the care package, and it does have that turbocharger functionality, and you're looking at 162 spare ammo with a magazine size of 54, I feel like that is the perfect amount to have late game, because maybe you fight one, two, three squads with that, but then it's not, you don't have it the entire game, so you have to pick your battles with it, really.
Right. I do like how they did put it as a care package gun. And I do agree with what you were just saying. But when it wasn't a care package gun and you could stack up that ammo, then it becomes extremely hard to beat. Because let's say it's you and I and we're in a 1v1 and this is the – like both of our teammates are down. This is it. This is for the win. I've got a Devotion with 300 energy ammo and a turbocharger and like a purple barrel stabilizer. And you've got, I don't know, let's say a Prowler with the select fire and a purple extended mag. I'm still going to shred you before you shred me. Unless I have way lower shields than you. If we both, let's say, have purple, I'm going to melt you before you melt me, as long as I hit my shots.
That's true, but if you hit your shots, the only thing is you will run out of ammo. I would run out sooner than you, assuming I fire all my shots exactly the same time at you. But if I can stay out of your fire and make you reload it, I have a chance to beat you, because of the reload time is longer than it is on, say, a Prowler.
Right, that's fair. And even with the Havoc, that reload time is longer. And that's true, but I feel like if you're a decent to good player or even a great player, you're not missing very many shots. Unless this person is a Pathfinder god and is moving everywhere with that zipline and like knows that part of the map better than you and can predict what you're saying, you're hitting most of your shots and you're melting that person. And it obviously just depends on the player.
I agree with that. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about some new legends and what we'd like to see in the coming months of Apex and the direction that the game is headed. I'll start us off. In the Season 4 trailer, when we first were introduced to Revenant, not the time that he killed Forge, but the time when he crawled up the wall and was a hitman still, that girl that we saw, I have strong belief, and a lot of Reddit users do too, that is a new legend called Rosie, a.k.a. Loba. Could be called either one. And we actually pulled up some things about her abilities. I'm seeing some of the things here is her ability to teleport by throwing a disc. I'm seeing an ability of some kind of x-ray vision that allows her to look through walls and loot boxes. Another one is a grappler or some kind of device to steal nearby loot, like her becoming a magnet or some sort of something. Another thing that we did see in the recent event was when it was Dummy's big day, was they had three different abilities in that. They had the spot heal, they had the dance party, and they had the loot pinata. Now, I have theories that number one, the zone heal is going to be Lifeline's new ultimate, and the care package will be taken away. I have a theory that Mirage will be getting the dance party because that is significantly better than his ultimate where they just stand there at the moment. And I have another theory that the loot pinata could be a Loba ultimate, considering we kind of, if we take the care package out of the game, that's the only way that loot would be coming into the game, like excess loot. So I could see Loba getting the loot pinata. I think the size of it would be significantly smaller because in Dummy's Big Day, it was quite large. There was a lot of stuff. Like, there was times when I would hit that ultimate and I'd get multiple purple body shields or purple helmets. And that just is, to me, a little bit unfair to have a Loba on your team if that's what she's going to do.
Right. And, I mean, your assumption makes sense. Like, because who else is going to get that? No one else is going to get that. So it makes sense for that. And as far as, like, getting the multiple purple shields, that happened to me too. And it's like, you're right. It's unfair because if you see a squad down there, and let's say you got a sniper, you hit them, and you see they all got white or blue shields, and then you hit that, and now all of a sudden your team has all purple shields just, like, in one little, like, area, I don't think that's fair because then if it's going to be that big all the time, then whoever has a Loba on their team essentially is going to make it to the top five. And, you know, a lot of people will go, oh, it's cool, there's a new legend, I'll play him like once or twice, but now I'm going to go back to my main, which is a Wraith or a Bangalore or a Pathfinder or whatever. And there's plenty of, like, a lot of the players still go with that main that they had from, like, season zero, season one, whatever. So those people who do go, okay, I'm going to play Loba, and now all of a sudden their entire team has got purple shields, that's just not fair. Whereas another team, you got somebody with a white shield and a blue shield and another white shield. They're looking around the map the entire game and don't find a single purple shield until top five or something like that. That's not fair. That's not fair to them. They're going to get melted. Like, that's just, it's too much. Okay, I get maybe one purple shield, something like that, or two purple helmets. Okay, that's cool. But that's just not fair to those teams who, like, literally have gone around the entire map looting and can't find one.
Exactly. And in a Lifeline care package, you don't know what you're going to get. You could get a purple backpack, you could get a purple knockdown, you could get a purple shield, or you could get a purple helmet. You don't get all of them. You get one or the other.
And or sometimes you even just get, like, a shield battery or a shield cell or a syringe.
Exactly. And the charge-up time on that is insane. That's why the ultimate accelerants are so hit big for Lifeline people. I mean, I still think if she gets that spot heal, it's still going to be a very similar charge-up time because that's just, if you go into a battle and you take 190 health and then hit that, it's kind of big. Like, that's a huge ultimate. I think that would push Lifeline back into the meta if that did happen to her because people like to have that heal. Now, also, what I will say is I have some ideas for some other legends. I was thinking maybe like some twins or something like a boy and a girl legend where they have ultimates. I don't know exactly what they would be, but they have ultimates, whereas they, when they're together, it makes their ultimate extremely strong if they both hit them at the same time. But they're still obviously powerful by themselves, but it makes it even more powerful if you play together.
And I think that would be good too, because you see a lot of players, they stop playing Apex because they're playing with randoms all the time and their teammates are just not good. And their squads are constantly getting wiped. And they're like, you know what? This sucks. I'm done. Where now they're forced to go, okay, well, let's see if I can get my friend on Apex and we can hit those together. Not only that, I know we're not really talking about ranked right now, but for ranked, that would be huge too. Now you've got teams coordinating when they're going to do it. And that would make ranked way more interesting.
I agree with that. Also, I have a couple gun ideas. I'm thinking like an energy handgun I feel would be really interesting. Yeah, similar to the L-Star where it has like those little balls of fire is the way I like to phrase it because that's what it looks like to me. I think that would be really interesting to add into the game. And then assuming maybe put it kind of like the Havoc where it has that little charge up time, but then it hits harder than an average handgun.
That'd be interesting. I would like that. And as a handgun, we don't have a energy handgun. That'd be a lot of fun because the handguns aren't really used. Like, let's be honest, they're not really used. It'd be interesting to see how people would use an energy handgun that hits much harder than like a P-2020 or a Mozambique or something like that. It's like on the level of a R99 or something, maybe not even that, like an alternator or something like that, but it's more of like a handgun and you're like you don't not able to put a stock on it. Is that what you're saying? Like,
it would be more like a handgun, whereas it's kind of like a wingman where maybe it fires one bullet at a time, or maybe you make it a little bit of like a burst, like two or three shots, and if you hit all of them it hits for per se, let's say around 45, like a wingman does.
Right.
Now obviously you can't put it much higher than that because the wingman has extremely bent buffed. Like it was like 45
right.
for a while. It was more than that for a while too. The wingman used to be an extremely hot option for people. And now I don't see people pick it up as much.
Yeah, not as much. And a lot of that too for the wingman was the mag size. And let's say you don't find an extended heavy. You only have four shots, and you better hit all four of those shots. Whereas maybe with this hand or this energy handgun, you can get six, seven shots per mag or like at base mag. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we're gonna go to closing thoughts, and then Lifeline is gonna hit us with a little bump out here. But Ryan, what do you got for closing thoughts?
All right, so. Love the Bloodhound buff. Excited to see what Loba will do. Please buff the longbow. Please buff longbow or give it another hop up again because I really miss that skull piercer. Maybe not the skull piercer, but give it another hop up. What about you? What you got?
I like the direction that this game is going. I think the storyline is good. Yeah.
Next week on Pred Talk.
We're going to touch on ranked.
And we'll also be touching on the storyline and the direction that we think the story is going.